Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone. And greetings in Jesus' name. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once more as we open your word, we ask, Father, for the Holy Spirit to be with us, to give us guidance, to give us knowledge, to give us wisdom, so that we, Father, can be of better help to those that are in need, especially to those, Father, that are in need of the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now, Father, we ask you to be with us. You have to study this evening. And we ask all of this in the sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right. We're going to be going in now to communion. So, everyone ready? Get your bread. We know that on the night that the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took bread. And he had given thanks. He broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Let us always remember the pain, the agony that he went through for you and I, and those stripes that he took upon that body that has brought healing to us even unto this day. Take your bread. Now, after the same manner, also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Let us remember that spilt blood from all those wounds upon that body that day. Take your cup. All right. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. We're going to be now in our study this evening in Mark. Chapter 2. We've seen how the first chapter of Mark is telling us a lot of things, and we also read in Matthew, but the difference in the way it's recorded. Now, chapter 2. Verse 1, and again, he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway, many were gathered together insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. They came unto him bringing one sick of palsy, which was born of four. That one that had this palsy was being carried by four other individuals. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. The crowd was so thick and wouldn't let them through. So they go up on the roof and they break it up. And they had to break up a lot of it because they let him down in what he was laying on. Now, 5, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of Paul's, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there was certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sin but God only? You see, they're not wanting any change at all. They're not understanding who he is as even of yet. Even those that are following are not really understanding who he is. Now, and immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? 9, whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk, that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He's trying to tell them they still do not want to listen because he is there in person as a man. And he said to the sick of the palsy, 11, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. They've never seen nothing like that, no. We know that. But they are still not accepting who he is. All right, 13. And he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. It's another one now. He has picked. No arguments, no hesitation. He just done as he was asked to do. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. You see, but now Jesus has attracted a number of devotees, but he has also managed to appeal to those who most pious Jews of that time and place would have avoided. And we know that they would have had nothing to do, publicans and sinners, no. 16. And when the scribes and the Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? 17. When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. 18. And the disciples of John and of the Pharisees used to fast, and they came and said to him, why do the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. No man also sewing a piece of new cloth on an old garment, or else the new piece that filled it up taketh away from the old, and the rent is made worse. 22. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine doth bust the bottles, and the wine is spilt, and the bottles will be marred. But new wine must be put into new bottles. You see, these bottles they're talking about are not made of glass or nothing that way. They are made of skin. They're called wine skins. And the old ones, spiritually, representing Judaism, and the new ones, Christianity. Old wine skins lose their elasticity and would be bust or split open by the fermentation of new wine put into them. You see, when they put the stuff in there to make that new wine, it has to ferment. And as it ferments to become wine and good wine, it causes the skins to split if they're old. So they always put it in new skins. And here they call it the bottle. The point, the old faith of Judaism and the new faith of Christianity cannot be mixed, nor can the practice or traditions in the times of fasting of Judaism be forced on Christianity. Now, you see, this change is taking place little by little and mainly within just a few, very few. Even at this time, his own disciples don't understand, really, of who he really is and what or why he's even here. Now, 23. And it came to pass that he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of corn. And the Pharisees said unto him, Behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? And he said unto them, Have ye never read what David did when he had need and was hungered, he and they that were with him? How he went into the house of God in the days the high priest and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priest, and gave also to them which were with him. 27. And he said unto them, The Sabbath is made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. 28. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. You see, Jesus' reasoning is that divine institutions on earth are to have a God-honoring, noble, and liberating function. And the Sabbath laws had for some degenerated into a mockery of God's intent. And Jesus, the Son of Man and Lord of the Sabbath, having power to forgive sin, can also teach rightly regarding proper observances of the Jewish Sabbath. And Jesus here touches a raw nerve, as the next incident will show. Now, we have come to the end of chapter 2. We'll be going into chapter 3 here. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him. You see, because it's still the Sabbath, and they want to see what he will do so they can accuse him. And they watched him whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. 3. And he said unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. 4. He said unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life, or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked around about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he said unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And the Pharisees went forth, and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him for doing something good and great. They want to destroy him because they are not wanting to accept any change. And their understanding is darkened. They really don't know who he is and why he's there. But Jesus withdrew himself with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea, and from Jerusalem, and from Idumea, and from beyond Jordan, and they about Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude, when they had heard what great things he did, came unto him. 9. And he spake to his disciples that a small ship should wait on him because of the multitude, lest they should throng them. 10. For he had healed many insomuch that they pressed upon him for to touch him, as many as had plagues. All that were sick and had any kind of disease or plague of any kind, they wanted to crowd in just to be able to touch him. Now, 11. And unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, thou art the Son of God. You see, the demons know him. The people know him. But the demons that's in these people, they know him. Now, 12. And he straightly charged them that they should not make him known. And he goeth up into a mountain, and calleth unto him whom he would. And they came unto him. And he ordained 12, that they should be with him, that he might send them forth to preach. achieve East 12, Dallas. East 12, Dallas, represent in some way part of the nation Israel with its 12 tribes. They had three functions to be with him. To be sent out to preach and to share Jesus' uncanny mastery over physical and spiritual disorder. 15, to send him forth to preach and to have power to heal sickness and to cast out devils. You see, he's where they get their strength from and their way of being able to deal with the things they will come up against. All comes from the Lord Jesus Christ to do the things he sends them to do. And Simon, he surnamed Peter, and James the son of Zebedee, and John the brother of James, and he surnamed them Bernagus, which is the sons of thunder, and Andrew and Philip, Bartholomew and Matthew, Thomas and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him. And they went into a house, and the multitude cometh together again, so that they could not so much as eat bread. And when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself. He's beside himself. You see, Jesus' awful appeal continues, unabated, but acquaintances seek to detain him, having decided that he is mentally unsound. They are apparently unsuccessful and quite mistaken. But even though they are supposedly friends, are figured that he is actually unstable. Now, 22, the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, he has Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils. Now, this is religious leaders of that day and time, these scribes and all. And they're saying that he has Beelzebub, and that he casts out devils by the devil. Well, we know that Satan's not going to be casting out none of his other demons or nothing, nor are they going to be casting out each other. And he called them unto him and said unto them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? 24, and if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. 25, and if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. 26, and if Satan raise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but has an end. 27, no man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man And then he was for his house. It is. Can't do it otherwise. Here in 28. Verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies, wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation, because they said he has an unclean spirit. You see, he's letting them know they need to be very careful of what they speak and what they say, because there is that one thing that if they commit, there's no forgiveness, and that is to blaspheme against the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. That word blessing means several things. It means to curse, to deny, to reject. Any of those three things is considered as blessing. Now, 31. There came then his brethren and his mother, and standing without sin unto him, calling him. And the multitude said about him, and they said unto him, behold thy mother and thy brethren, without seek thee. 33. And he answered them, saying, who is my mother or my brethren? This question he's asking. 34, and he looked around about on them which sat about him, and said, behold my mother and my brother, for whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. The family of God, we are all that belong to him. We are one family, and we are all brothers and sisters. It does not matter what nationality, what race, or anything, or where, what nation we come from. But if we are the children of God, then we are all one family, and we are brothers and sisters in Christ. Think about that. And we have now come to the end of chapter 3, and we will stop there for this evening. All right. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we're told to pray for Israel, and we do. And Father, we pray for Israel from the heart. And we pray that they'll have peace. But more so, Father, that they will all accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah. In this land of ours, Father, may it repent of all of the evil that they have brought upon our land and our people. And may those that have done so, that are filled with evil, be replaced by ones that are walking in righteousness, that love you, the Lord Jesus Christ, love your church, love your people, and love this land. And Father, work with us to bring it to repentance and put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, I pray for Kenny Powers, for Dennis Lee, James Taylor, for Amy, Tom, Jacob, for Bobby and Millie Johnson, for Sue Branson, for Courtney and Shane, that their lives will change, that they'll all grow stronger in the Lord, placing their trust and faith in Jesus. For Sue Branson, for Debbie and Daryl, for my wife and myself, and to all of those in the nursing home there in Brandenburg, Father, that we can all peace and have your love. Father, and be in health and move closer and stronger with the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, keep us safe through this night. Bring us back together again one morning at 10 a.m. and back into your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, good evening, all.